Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Shir Yud Zayin, the 17th shir of Sefer HaMitzvahs, as well as the 18th shir, as well as the 19th shir, all focus on the 73rd mitzvah, 73rd positive mitzvah of the Torah, which is the mitzvah of teshuvah. There are nine chapters in Mishneh Torah in which the Rambam talks about teshuvah, and all nine of them are bound to the fulfillment of one single mitzvah, which has numerous details, as you will see. So we'll start first by beginning with some of the text from Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah in Gimel, and we'll do a little bit of a comparative reading of Mishneh Torah and some insight into that. Mitzvah Ayin Gimel, simply stated, as the Rambam puts it in Sefer HaMitzvahs, is the tzivush and its tavinu, the commandment that God gave us, lehoides, or in other versions of Sefer HaMitzvahs, lehisvades, to acknowledge or to confess, bechatoyim shechatonu lefonav yisala, that when we did sins before Hashem, that we should acknowledge those sins before Hashem, and we should verbalize them. It has to be done bedibur. When is this done? It's done kishenoshuv mehen. If a person is boasting about a avedus that he did, and he's telling everybody about what he did wrong, that he has absolutely no remorse, that's not the mitzvah of tshuva. That's not the mitzvah of vidui. The vidui is that when he is returning, when he is doing tshuva, that he should articulate those sins before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not before a person, chas v'shalom. Sometimes people come and they say, you know, Rabbi, I did this. So stop right there. So I'm not a Catholic priest. Don't tell me what you did. It's not my business. You have to make confessions. Confessions are to God alone. There's no person who can hear your confession and absolve you or do anything that helps you unless you need a specific tikkun. But generally speaking, there's no mitzvah to tell other people about an avedi you did. And not only is no mitzvah, but our sages tell us that it's the opposite of a mitzvah. It's a chil Hashem. It's bad enough that you did it. You don't have to tell people about it also. It's like if somebody were embarrass you, if somebody would hurt you, and not only he does that, he tells everybody, you know what I did to so-and-so? So the person is even more embarrassed and more ashamed. So when a person does tshuva before Hashem, then he has to confess and acknowledge those sins. V'zehu ha-vidui v'inyonei. This is the vidui, the Rambam says. You want to talk about it in a trite, straightforward way? Sheyoymar, that he should say, Ono Hashem, please, God, chatosi, avisi, pashati, vasisi, kach v'kach. I have sinned, I have veered off the path, I have behaved in a way which is guilty, and I did this and this, whatever it was. The Rambam says, if somebody has the gift of gab, and he has a lot to talk about, there's a lot of avedus, you can't get away with five words. Ve'yarchiv, and then he has to develop, as hadibur, this talk. He has to speak about the details. And the more detailed your confession is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more meaningful it is. Just think about when you as a parent have to discipline your children, and one of your children did something wrong. So you will say to the child, say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No. Why are you sorry? What did you do wrong? Because if the child doesn't acknowledge what they did wrong, then they're not sorry. You can't be sorry without acknowledging why you're sorry or what you did wrong. And so it is when it comes to a sin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, violating the will of God, that a person has to acknowledge before God what he did wrong. The Yivakesh Kapara, he should ask forgiveness and for atonement from Hashem, Be'inyin Zeh, Kifi Tzachos L'Shoinai, in accordance with his ability to articulate. This is the reason that on Yom Kippur, many of us are familiar with the Al-Chet prayer, which has two Al-Chets for every letter of the Aleph Beis. So we have 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, we have 44 Al-Chets, and because people can sin in a wide range, we try to cover. We figure if we have every letter in the Aleph Beis twice, we probably covered most of what a person could have done during the course of the year. But in the event that you're busy reviewing all 44 Al-Chets and you don't find yourself, then you have to make a 43rd or 45th or 45th al-chet. And you have to add and say, I did this, that, or the other thing, and they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgiveness. Now, reading the al-chet out loud in Hebrew is not a problem. That's not a chil Hashem because you're reading a text. But if you're reading a text and that's all you're doing and you're not thinking about what you're saying and you're not actually asking Hashem for forgiveness, you're not saying al-chet. You're not doing tshuva. Tshuva means to have remorse, to resolve not to do this again, and to articulate it. And since we're all using the same terminology, there's nothing wrong with saying that terminology out loud. But we all have to mean our own individual expressions when we use those common verbs, those common words, those common adjectives that comprise the Al-Chet prayer. It's just like, you know, the words I love you are probably the most abused words in the English language. They're said probably billions of times a day. And it could mean anything from a passionate expression of love to one's child. It could be people speaking to their dog. It could be somebody speaking to somebody, a waiter who brought them sugar when they wanted them more sugar. People say the words all the time. And everybody saying those words, it means something different. And by the way, if you're trying to impress the person you're telling it to you, if you don't mean it at all, it's not going to work at all. It has to have some kind of expression. You have to actually be saying it. So this is the same way. We have, indeed, 44 different expressions of Al-Chet, but they have to be unique to you, to the one who is saying that vidui before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says, you should know, that this idea of vidui does not apply only to Avedas for which the Torah doesn't give us any other mechanism. But if the Torah gives us a mechanism to absolve ourselves of sin, then vidui is not necessary. And I refer, of course, to the concept of sacrifices, of korbanot, which sacrifice is a very bad translation. It's a Greek word, and it means to suffer, to give away, have pain, and so on and so forth. That has nothing to do with a korban. If the korban would be having pain, you'd have to gash yourself, and that's an idolatrous practice, as we learned yesterday. So the idea of a korban is an idiom of the Hebrew word kiruv. It's a permutation of the word drawing close. And a korban is a mechanism through which a Jew draws close to Hashem. And for that matter, any human being is able to bring a korban. We accept a korban from a Gentile also. And a korban, when it's brought properly, it becomes a mechanism, an envelope, a convention through which one fuses themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bonds and connects themselves, draws closer to God. And therefore, a korban, in its larger sense, means kiruv hakeches v'achushim. It means that you have to bring yourself closer to God. You have various faculties, you have gifts, you have facets of your personality. They have to be more godly. That's what a korban is supposed to accomplish. And to those of you who are scratching your heads and saying, so how does it help when you slaughter an animal and there's blood and guts everywhere, and then you burn it, and this makes you closer to Hashem. So, of course, we have to remember that Raza de Kurbana, Ola Ad Raza de Insof, the Zohar says that the mystery of a sacrifice penetrates the very deepest mystery of the infinity of God, and we do not understand how and why a sacrifice is meaningful. But if you think that it was simply a mechanical act of slaughtering an animal and sprinkling blood, you make a mistake. Because the Zohar describes the activities of the Kohen and the activities of the Levi, that the Kohen did so brimming with passion and with fervor and with a sense of deep spiritual connectivity, that the Leviim would sing songs and the songs would be a soulful expression. And the Medrash tells us that the Leviim would sing the song that they knew would move you. Some people are best moved, best inspired with a joyous song. Other people like songs which are sad and have melancholy in them. And the Leviim were brilliant. They were so brilliant at music, they could size up a person, and they knew how to touch this person, that this person should become inspired to do tshuva with the songs that were being sang. That's what the Medrash tells us. And the Rambam says, Da, sha'afilo achatoyim shechayovin oleim mini akarbonis, even sacrifices, or pardon me, sins, for which one is required to bring a sacrifice, which have been mentioned already previously before in this book, that the Torah says, one who brings the sacrifice, niskaper loy, he finds himself forgiven and atoned for. You cannot simply buy a goat and say, here's my animal. Okay, it's slaughtered, blood sprinkled. Whew, I'm free. This is great. I didn't have to do anything. I don't feel any remorse. In fact, I couldn't care less about what I did, but just to please my mother-in-law, so I brought a sacrifice, and now nobody can bother me, and so the sin is atoned for. Not so, says the Rambam, that's a big mistake. But rather, when you bring the korban, it has to be accompanied with the sense of tshuva. And the act of tshuva is to verbalize. So we have to say vidui. V'hu amro yisala, that's what God says in the Torah, David al bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, ish o isha ki yasa mikol chatos ha'adam, a man or a woman when they will sin in a manner that the Torah ordains to be a violation, a contravention of God's will, v'hisvandu es chatoshim asr asu. The Torah says clearly in Chumash Bamidbar, chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, clearly that you have to bring the korban and you have to articulate the remorse that you feel. In the language of the Mechilta, as explaining this very pasuk, Lefisha Nemar, because it says in the pasuk, Vaho Yochi Yasham Lachas Melo, the person who's guilty of one of these, which is verse 5. Vihisvado Asher Choto, that person has to go ahead and acknowledge, confess that which they did wrong. Yisvade Al Kol Chet Asher Choto. He has to say, has to articulate his feelings of remorse and regret and resolve for the future. For each and every one of those sins, al hachatos kishei kayemes, on the chatos, when it's still alive. Like mishinishchata. Once the animal is shechted, it's finished. Once the animal is slaughtered, it doesn't work anymore. A live animal, you have to acknowledge the sins you did. You have to look at the animal and see how tenuous life is. And after you do tshuva, and after you express that tshuva, then a person has to fulfill the rest of his Torah obligation by having that korban brought. Ein b'mashma sheisvada hayochid, ela al bias hamigdash. The Rambam begins now with a little bit of a question. It sounds that only when you come to the Beis HaMikdash you have to do this mitzvah. So we started off thinking that this mitzvah is only applicable when you don't go to the Beis HaMikdash. However, looking carefully at the verses now, it seems that this mitzvah is specific to a korban. And it's part of the ritual that surrounds the sacrifice. But the pasuk says, Asher chota aleh. And that pasuk is said also, is talked also about in Parshas Vayikra, when it talks about the ritual impurity that's caused to the Beis HaMikdash or to various artifacts in the Beis HaMikdash, as we will explain. Now this is the first blush we're going to take at Mitzvah Ayin Gimel. The Rambam is going to go through a number of suppositions now, thinking that Vidui and Tshuva is only applicable to certain sins. Because if you look at the verse in its literal incarnation, it sounds like it's talking only about certain sins. And the Rambam demonstrates, based on the Mechilta, how each and every Aveda is something that requires the concept of tshuva. So we'll continue on the actual text of the Sefer HaMitzvahs tomorrow. And I want to kind of accompany this, conjoin this to what the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva. And this is very important. In Mishneh Torah, the Rambam begins every set of halachas by telling us there's a mitzvah. And which has what we call later, some scholars call the Minyan HaKotzer. Here the mitzvah is long. It's several hundred words. However, in the Minyan HaKotzer, the Rambam uses a few words. He'll sum up the mitzvah in one sentence. So the Minyan HaKotzer is, and listen to this carefully, V'hu sheyoshuv hacheta mecheta lefnei Hashem v'yisvada. The mitzvah is, he should return, come back to what we call innocence, come back to a behavior which is appropriate, come back to closeness with Hashem, and he should confess. This is extremely meaningful, and you'll see why in a moment. Because in the actual body of Mishneh Torah, once the Rambam starts talking, he says, "Kol mitzvah shebetorah, any mitzvah, whether it's a violation of a positive mitzvah, something you didn't do. Somebody didn't put on tefillin today, chas v'shalom, for example. Or somebody did something lo yaseh, he ate something for lunch he shouldn't have eaten. Im avar adam alachas mehen, if a person does any of these, whether he does it willingly in a way which is brazen, and wanton, or a person does it accidentally, didn't realize that what he was doing was wrong. Kishiyasa tshuva v'yashav mechetei, when he does tshuva, chayiv lehisvadeis, then he has an obligation to confess. Now, listen carefully to the words Rambam uses. In the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam says, when he does tshuva, chayiv lehisvadeis. Chayiv means obligation. I'm obligated. When am I obligated? When I'm doing tshuva, that's when I have a mitzvah. That's when mitzvah Ayin Gimel comes along. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam talks entirely about verbiage, all about confession, all about verbal acknowledgement. So the big question is there actually a mitzvah to do tshuva? From the Rambam's words, it seems that there is no mitzvah to do tshuva. Because the Rambam talks about a mitzvah, chayav, the obligation. A mitzvah is something you're obligated to do. The obligation is to confess. So it seems from those words that there is actually no mitzvah to do tshuva. And that's not my supposition. The Minchas Chinuch makes this supposition. Minchas Chinuch, mitzvah Shin Samach Daot, he says that it would seem from the words of the Rambam, the leka mitzvah saseh lases tshuva, that there is no positive mitzvah to do tshuva, but if you're doing tshuva, then you have a positive mitzvah that you should go ahead and you should say the following, I did so such and such wrong. The Minchas Chinuch, however, points out that if you go back to the Minyan HaKotzer, to the Rambam's first statement, where he says that this halachas contained one mitzvah, he says, "V'hu, what is the mitzvah? Sheyashuv hacheta mecheta lefnei Hashem v'yisvada." He includes two actions. Here he says, "Mitzvah sasei achas," and after the words "mitzvah sasei achas," he says, "Sheyashuv hacheta mecheta." So this is what the Minchas Chinuch points out, this seeming seeming contradiction. It almost seems that Rambam, on one hand, is saying it's a mitzvah to do tshuva, on the other hand, he says it's a mitzvah just to verbalize. Now, you should know that the Tzemach Tzedek, in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, which is mystical explanations on the mitzvahs, in the mitzvah of Vidya Tshuva, he says, quote, Iker mitzvahs ha-tshuva, the primary mitzvah of tshuva, is not the words. It's not the lip service. The primary mitzvah of tshuva, he azivas ha-chet v'havidui u'bakoshas mechila, is abandoning sin, leaving sin behind, saying, I won't do this again. And the Tzemach Tzedek relies on the words of the Alter Rebbe, of the Baal HaTanya in Igeres HaTshuva. In Perek Aleph, the Alter Rebbe says almost exactly this, and he says, as it is written, B'Shem HaRambam. The Alter Rebbe brings it in the name of the Rambam. So we see that in the way that Tzemach Tzedek understood the Rambam, as based on the way the Alter Rebbe understood the Rambam, that there is a mitzvah to do tshuva. So the Rebbe suggested that in all likelihood, the fact that the Rambam began his halachas by saying, sheyoshuv hachoyte mechete v'yisvada, that the Rambam doesn't have to repeat it a second time. He already told you it's a mitzvah. And that mitzvah is already clear to you. Sheyoshuv, you should return from that way. I won't go down this path anymore. I'm not going to eat lunch at that restaurant anymore. I'm not going to speak such words of slander anymore, whatever it may be. I'm not going to do that anymore. Now I have a mitzvah. What's the rest of the mitzvah? The rest of the mitzvah is, it's not complete. This mitzvah of tshuva is not complete until I verbalize, and because the Rambam writes it in the beginning, this is possibly the reason why the Rambam does not feel compelled to write it again. The interesting thing about this all is that in the book of mitzvahs, the Rambam does not actually talk about the concept of tshuva as a mitzvah at all. But then again, the book of mitzvahs is not written to tell you what to do, but just you should know about the mitzvahs. The book of Mishneh Torah is the book of instruction of what you should do, and therefore it's fair to say that there is a mitzvah to do tshuva, only the mitzvah of doing tshuva, which is in the recess of heart and mind, is not sufficient. And because a mitzvah is an action, and we know that speaking, verbalization, can be considered an action, therefore the halachic definition of this mitzvah is actually verbalizing those words intentfully, that I acknowledge my sins and I promise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I will not go down this path, I will not return to my sins again. That's Shir Aleph for this mitzvah, and Meretz Hashem, the next 2 days, we'll continue to learn about the mitzvah of tshuva.